This is Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCollum. With Veterans Day next Monday, we're taking a look at how veterans in the La Crosse area are doing through the eyes of two people who work with them on a daily basis. La Crosse County Veterans Service Officer Adam Flood has been on the job 6 weeks. His counterpart in Vernon County, Jim Young, has been helping veterans for 15 years and has served veterans service officers on a national level. La Crosse County UW Extension Director Mary Meehan Strube asked Jim Young about the biggest challenges military veterans face in this area.
I think the biggest challenge is Adam and I trying to get veterans and family members to understand the benefit that that person is entitled to. A lot of people don't have a clue what they're entitled to. I have a sub-office, as I call it, in Hillsboro, which is 40 miles thereabout from Viroqua. And I go over there twice a month, specifically the whole hour, so people don't have to trudge over here in the wintertime, especially on Highway 82 and maybe get an accident, and especially an elderly person. I was over there the middle of last month, I think it was, and a lady came in, wanted to know if there was any benefit she might could apply for that could help her because her husband was a veteran and he passed away in 2003. And she had his military discharge, his DD Form 214, and his death certificate. And so I said, well, okay, you know, have a seat. We can see if you may qualify for a pension, which is one of the benefits a widow may qualify for. Well, as we sat down and we started talking, she shows me the death certificate, and the veteran passed away of Lou Gehrig's disease in 2003. And I said, well, this puts the new light on what we're doing here. I said, because this condition he passed away of is what's called a presumptive service-connected condition, which means she won't get, let's say, for sake of argument, $400 a month, but somewhere in the neighborhood of $1,150 a month because he passed away of this presumptive service-connected condition. He's a Vietnam veteran, and so the law says if you served in the military with ALS especially, irregardless of time and where you serve, if you passed away of Lou Gehrig's disease, it's a presumptive condition, and that person is entitled to apply for that. But it took her neighbor to prompt her to come see me. She had no idea that that was a benefit available. And so I'm going back to Hillsboro Thursday, and I told her I want to meet the neighbor to thank that person to get her to come see me.
Now, Adam, would you say that's the same type of challenges that you see facing veterans here in La Crosse as well?
Certainly. A lot of veterans are not aware of what's entitled to them, really. And then from there, you really need to look at the generation. Those returning today, their challenge might be trying to get into school, where the Vietnam era, they're just starting to get to a point where medical bills are starting to pile up that they're not aware of, that they could be going through the VA. And then certainly with the World War II veterans as well, they, for some reason, did not come in and seek VA assistance when they first got out. So each generation certainly has the need of where they're currently at in life. And I'd say this generation of Iraqi or Afghanistan veterans will be further down the road looking towards medical services where they're currently looking at education. And it's just one thing they need to be aware of is always turn back to the VA, because more than likely there's something out there that they should be knowledgeable about and at that time in their life seek out the need and assistance on it.
Do you see vets from different conflicts having different issues as well?
Today's wars are just being fought at a different level than they have in the past. So some of those returning veterans, unfortunately, post-traumatic stress disorder is one of those primary things. Not saying that the Vietnam era did not have that, but the VA was not as open to actually accepting it. They've definitely turned their view on that. And I would say if somebody tried after Vietnam to get into the VA for that, they should certainly come back for it now, because the VA evolves as they learn more things, the presumptive conditions that Jim was talking about. That's something over time that they learned. Agent Orange was the cause of certain things. And now they won't even think twice. If a veteran comes in and is able to show that they have this medical condition, then certainly the VA will just automatically allow it.
Do the challenges in this area differ from what other veterans in other parts of the United States face?
I don't think so. I go to conferences probably 5 times a year in different places. Mm-hmm. And just a matter of what part of the country you're from is all. Mm-hmm. They're still the same. The same conditions they're being faced here. I'm going to Iowa in December. People out in Cedar Rapids got the same thing that people in Fargo have. It's just a matter, we were in different parts of the country, and some places getting to that VA care or services is more challenging for some than others. Mm-hmm. And one of my colleagues in North Dakota has to travel 200 miles to get his people to a VA hospital. We're fortunate here, very, very fortunate, with the La Crosse-Seabock here at the clinic or Toma Medical Center or Madison. On any given day, a person may have to travel no more than 50 miles for that care that the person in North Dakota has to go 200 for. Mm-hmm. But we're very fortunate, but the conditions are still the same.
Healthcare, homelessness, mental health issues, employment, family issues, financial stability, they're all issues that are associated with veterans in this country. Are those the big issues that you see in this area?
You could probably subcategorize some of La Crosse having other things, but for the most part, veterans, like Jim said, here are just the same veterans as elsewhere. They, you know, our pocket of veterans, if you compared it to any place else, just due to the volume, might differ in different ways. You know, I'm sure you go to a Chicago and you'll see greater number of homeless veterans, where here in La Crosse, we do actually really well at assisting those veterans by finding them places with the Salvation Army or out at Toma. They take care of those homeless veterans as well. So as you look at that list that you just described, you could certainly take that elsewhere in the country, and they would tell you those are the major issues that they have with veterans as well, if the veteran is in need.
You're listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio La Crosse. I'm Mary Meehan Strube. Today I'm talking with Adam Flood and Jim Young, veteran service officers from La Crosse and Vernon counties, about veteran service programs in the Cooley region area. Would you say the same is true, Jim? Adam talked about some of the items that I had listed as issues in the La Crosse area, but would you say that the same is true, healthcare, homelessness?
Yes.
Are the
yes.
key issues in Vernon
yes.
County?
The only difference or the only distinction, Adam's workload in those areas may be a little larger than mine. That's all. Mm-hmm. Population is different. That's all. Okay. But they're the same.
There's been an emphasis locally in recent years about helping veterans go to college. Is that the case around the country as well?
From what I've seen, yes, it is.
Mm-hmm. And is there still an active interest in our area for veterans to return to college?
From La Crosse's point of view, I mean, we do have 3 universities. I would say, last I checked, we're around 2,000 students who are veterans of some sort. And, you know, I think education probably plays a bigger role here because of that than, say, Viroqua would, because we have that. So We see that population coming to La Crosse.
The United States Automobile Association, which offers insurance to veterans, released a survey that ranks La Crosse as the 3rd best small-sized metro area in the country at employing veterans. So why is that the case, and our veterans that are here finding jobs that they want and are rewarding and that they can sustain or support their families with?
I think that survey, personally, I think you have to take that with a grain of salt, in that what were the questions asked in that survey, okay, mm-hmm. And what were the respondents' responses to those? is lacrosse number 3? It could very well be, but it could very well be number 20. Okay. I do say the institutions in lacrosse, educational institutions in lacrosse, do a wonderful job educating people, and the employers in lacrosse do a wonderful job advertising those things, especially toward the veterans population. But that veteran that is applying for those jobs, a lot of them aren't qualified for some of those things that they're applying for, and so they are getting what's available. One of the other things that I do, I'm on the Western Wisconsin Workforce Development Board and on the Job Center Board Committee specifically. And so we meet every other month talking about these issues. And so one of the hardest areas to fill is in the for welding skill positions. Mm-hmm. They just can't fill them fast enough because the interest isn't there for whatever reason. But in my opinion, that mediocre job that pays minimum wage type of thing, that's a job that's filled on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. So were the people in this survey, were they looking at these things? Or were they looking at skill positions? Okay. So I take that survey with a grain of salt.
So do you see the veterans in this area, are they able to find the kinds of jobs that they want that are rewarding for them and that they can sustain their family with? They're not able to. Okay.
No. They find a job, yes. Mm-hmm. But what they're, quote, looking for and what interests them and what charged them, you know, mm-hmm. no.
What would it take to have those jobs available?
More of them.
More of them?
Yeah.
And what kinds of jobs are they looking for?
Manufacturing, skilled labor.
Okay.
It's what's out there. And one that's always in great demand are welders, as an example. Mm-hmm. Okay. They can't get enough welders, okay? And in the IT profession, there aren't enough businesses that are hiring IT mm-hmm. professionals, okay? And these professionals are running over each other coming out of schools, but the jobs aren't there. And so they're having to, in order to live or survive, take what's available. And unfortunately, in most cases, it's that mediocre minimum wage paying job. Mm-hmm.
Now, Adam, you yourself went back to school, got a bachelor's degree, I believe, mm-hmm. and have had different kinds of employment opportunities since then. Are you seeing the same in this area, that veterans aren't able to find positions that they would like to have?
In some respect, I mean, Jim kind of covered some of the areas. You know, these veterans had a specific job while in the service. And when they got out, you know, they have so much value on that. And they can't always find a job that easily translates to that. They do seek other opportunity. I had to go back and work somewhere else that was not at all what I started off in the military. Well, I should take that back. It did have some correlation, but it's not what I wanted to pursue. And it took me a little bit of time to go through and finally get what I want. And, you know, listening to the fact that lacrosse is number 3, I think lacrosse does a great job at promoting the job opportunities out there. There's a lot of job fairs that look for veterans to hire, give them opportunity just to meet employers. It doesn't always mean that those jobs are being filled by the veterans. You know, it's a great way to show a veteran where they might be able to get to, but there's still that disconnect of sometimes getting a veteran into it.
I'm going to switch to another part of the kinds of services that you've helped veterans to find, and that is healthcare. And the topic that is in the news the most often recently is the Affordable Care Act. Will it affect veterans? And if it will, how?
To my understanding, really the veterans will not be affected by it. It's not really all that advertised, but on that in the marketplace, if you're actually covered by the VA healthcare, you are exempt from actually participating in the marketplace. The VA is not an insurance, so they can't be listed on the website. Mm-hmm. However, if the government ever comes to the veteran and says, you know, you are not meeting the standard provided or required, the veteran simply has to turn around and say, I am part of the VA healthcare, therefore I do meet the minimum standard that you are requesting. So at this time, if a veteran does feel that they're scared of not meeting the government regulation, I would just simply tell the veteran, make sure you're enrolled in the VA, and if the government ever comes and questions it, they have all the documentation they need to prove it.
Where do you see technology going to provide better, faster, maybe more efficient, not to say that you aren't efficient now, but more efficient type services for veterans versus that one-on-one contact that you get when people come into your offices or when you go into their homes to help them, you know, find out what services are available to them? Where do you see technology in all of this?
Well, I don't think technology will put Adam and myself out of work.
Okay.
And that no matter what's out there online, there isn't enough space on those sites to do, quote, what we do on a daily basis. Mm-hmm. It just isn't enough. Is there room for technology? Absolutely. Is it beneficial? Most certainly is. But there's always and will always be room for people like myself and Adam out there in the communities. What's unfortunate in along those lines is you always read about a veteran falling through the cracks someplace and not getting services and, oh, how terrible it is, and we have to help this veteran. The VA is not doing its job. Well, if you look and read between the lines, you will see in a lot of cases that veteran is from a state that doesn't have people like Adam or myself. There are 19 states that don't have county service officers. And so those people are relegated to friends, family, neighbors, and television ads to find what they need to get. And unfortunately, they do fall through the cracks. I picked up one today, as a matter of fact, a person from Illinois. Out of state, but that's irrelevant to me. The gentleman has prostate cancer and has never filed a claim. Well, you call me Monday morning, we'll do this, you know. But there's always room. It's going to be room for us. I hate to say it, but it's an absolute fact. This is employment for life, if that's what you like, because the need is there. And it's a tremendous need, as we're speaking, for people like myself and Adam coming along. I'm thrilled, believe it or not, that Adam's on board, because myself, that, quote, older generation, we're going to call it quits one day. Not me, but we're going to, at some point in time, retire, if you will. Mm-hmm. And so there has to be someone there to pick up that sword and continue on. And Adam's is starting that. I think it's great, personally.
So, Adam, do you see technology replacing the kinds of work that you do?
In the month and a half that I've been on this job, I can't even begin to express how overwhelming it is about understanding how many different things there are to maneuver the VA. I couldn't imagine doing this on my own, and I would not encourage it to any veteran to actually try and pursue this on their own without the right guidance. I have the ability to go online and ask a question to the 72 counties that have a veteran service officer. Actually, I think it's a few less. A few counties aren't represented. They just double dip in a way. That collective mind will tell me how to actually achieve the goal that I'm pursuing. So what I see technology doing is not replacing us, but enhancing what we can do. There'll be better transparency. You know, the VA is moving to where a veteran will be able to get online, and rather than putting a phone call into the regional office in Milwaukee, being able to go online and see where their status actually of the claim is, without really disrupting the actual process. You know, a veteran will be able to potentially get on Facebook and say, I just learned of a new benefit for veterans, and spread that word faster than we've ever been able to spread it before. All of those things will help the veterans to help navigate that vast VA, really, is what Jim and I will do in God forbid, when Jim retires, that somebody new will step in and just understand how to maneuver the VA at a better pace and help those veterans.
The VA is always improving the way it does business. Mm-hmm. And on a national level, our organization is at the head of the table in that we were very instrumental in the VA extending, if you will, this technology arm to the county level, mm-hmm. because the VA at one time was of the opinion a county service officer isn't serving the veteran the way the service organizations were, okay? And at a couple of meetings in Washington, D.C. at VA headquarters, that was quickly put under the rug and shown just the opposite to be true. And so over the last 7 or 8 years, the VA has used the National Association of County Service Officers as test sites for these new programs, this new technology you're talking about. There's one that's coming on board now. It's called Digit to Digit, D2D. There's another one out there that just came on board called SEP. It was tested not at a VA regional office, not at a clinic, but at a county veteran service office in Ohio, Pennsylvania, and Texas. It's where they were tested before they were rolled out. The VA sees that the county service officer is an integral part of what they do. They've admitted, I use that language, they've admitted the county service officer does 80% of their original claims work for them, but we don't get paid for that. Mm-hmm. We do original work for those guys, 80% worth, and we're very good at it.
Now, Adam, you're located in the La Crosse County Administrative Center. Your office is there.
Sure.
And I also understand that there's a regional-type veterans office or clinic that's also here in La Crosse out on State Road. How's that different from what you have to offer through the Veterans Service Office?
The State Road facility is not really regional. The only regional facility we have here in Wisconsin is down in Milwaukee. What that is just an outreach clinic from TOMA, where the main hospital is located for our area. And they've found enough of a vet population in the greater La Crosse area to determine to put in a clinic there. So it's just an area where veterans can go for their medical needs. They actually have expanded shortly or just across a building in a way, a mental health facility as well. So we're even building on from that, and there's talk about relocating those two to a new building somewhere in La Crosse in the next few years and actually combining the medical clinic and the mental health clinic into one area so that the veterans' needs can be met just by walking in through one door.
What other services other than the outreach clinic here in La Crosse are available for veterans?
There's also a vets clinic on Rose Street, and that's much like the mental health clinic, except for that one's not operated primarily by the VA. It's VA associated, but that one is open to the veterans and some of their families as well. They do have different limits on how much a veteran can be seen there, but it's completely off of the VA's paperwork. The VA cannot request any medical documents from them without the written permission by the veteran. So it's a great way for a veteran to go talk about what they need without feeling like the government is able to look in on that. A lot of reserve members actually use that way it can't affect their career if they believe that it would, but rarely does the VA actually utilize any medical documentation to make a determination for a reservist as well.
Adam Flood is La Crosse County's Veterans Service Officer. Jim Young is the Veterans Service Officer in Vernon County. They spoke with Mary Mian Strube, the director of UW Extension for La Crosse County, about some of the issues facing military veterans in our area. You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCollum. Coming up next, we'll talk about Wisconsin's Main Street program and learn how Viroqua's downtown has benefited from being a longtime member. Archives of this and other recent editions of Newsmakers, extended interviews, and photos can be found on our website at wpr.org/newsmakers. You can also like us on Facebook at WPR Newsmakers.